Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Thursday, March 20th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news stories from around Wyoming. Governor Mark Gordon signed 10 bills into law yesterday. One allows healthcare providers to prescribe some legal medications for off-label purposes. Another extends the cutoff year for convicted felons to request post-conviction DNA testing to 2008. That's the year the original law was enacted. Previously, the cutoff was the year 2000. The bill's sponsor says it fixes a hole in state law. And another adds sexual contact to the state's definition of prostitution. Previously, the definition was limited to acts of sexual intrusion. Gordon has until midnight on Friday to take action on the bills remaining on his desk. It's been about 2 weeks since the U.S. Department of Agriculture was ordered to hire back nearly 6,000 probationary workers for 45 days. Jackson Hole Community Radio's Dante Pilpula-Ankny reports that includes several from the Bridger-Teton National Forest who are cautiously optimistic they may have their jobs back.
Sophia Drasden-Nagy was fired from her trail worker position in mid-February, but on Tuesday, she got an email. She and all fired USDA probationary employees had been placed on administrative leave and will be paid from the time of their termination if they are owed.
Although we have been rehired, there's confusion around, okay, well, will they just fire us again in 45 days when that stay is up?
That could be the case. The Trump administration has directed federal agencies to provide plans for a reduction in force that would cause mass layoffs for federal workers across the nation in the coming months. At least three other fired probationary employees with the Bridger-Teton National Forest received a similar rehired email. The email doesn't include specifics like when or if employees can return to work. That guidance, according to the email, will be given in the future. Dante Fibola-Ankny, KHOL News.
The Bureau of Indian Affairs is making new efforts to help solve missing and murdered Indigenous persons cases. Now the federal agency is using forensic technology to help reunite remains of Native Americans with their families and tribal nations. The Mountain West News Bureau's Caleb Radle has more.
Federal data shows there are roughly 4,200 unsolved missing and murdered Indigenous persons. The BIA is working to bring that number down with the initiative Operation Spirit Return. The agency is partnering with a Texas-based company called Othram, which uses genetic genealogy to identify human remains. Gina Jackson is Western Shoshone, a tribe in our region, and an advocate. She says any resource going towards this crisis is a good thing.
But the injustices are so huge and so vast that we need some big changes. We need to be protected. And right now, Native women and girls and Native people in general are not being protected.
The BIA did not respond to an interview request. In a recent press release, the agency says it's actively investigating 15 unsolved cases across tribal lands. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radle.
Artificial intelligence could help doctors personalize obstetric care when they come across uncommon situations. Nathan Blue is a maternal fetal medicine doctor at the University of Utah. He was part of a research team that used AI to study nearly 10,000 pregnancies to see what combination of risk factors are linked to stillbirth and other problems.
We currently have a very one-size-fits-all type approach to our monitoring and pregnancy care for babies who are at risk of stillbirth and other complications, and so we can do better.
Blue's team looked at factors like social support, blood pressure, medical history, and fetal weight. One of their findings shows a risk of complications can go up if the baby is female and the mother has pre-existing diabetes. Before the AI study, it looked like females were at lower risk. The founder of a film festival debuting on Friday hopes to inspire filmmakers to make more movies in the Cody area. Wyoming Public Radio's Olivia Wheats reports.
Jacob Graham is behind the Yellowstone Film Festival at Bighorn Cinemas.
I would like for it to become something like the rodeo and the museum, where like people think of Cody and they think of this film festival. That would be really awesome.
Over about a week, close to 80 short and feature-length films will be screened. Graham hopes to offer screenwriting and acting workshops and more films in future years.
Hey, there's these businesses that are closed for a few days in the winter. Why not just put some chairs up and have a screen? And there's so much potential for it.
The festival would also like to play more films shot in Wyoming. There's one at the festival this year. Some say fewer films are shot here because the state lacks a film incentive program. The head of the film office in Cody says the legislature skipped it this year, but he hopes they give it another look next session. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Olivia Wietz at the Center of the West in Cody.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with some lighter stories from around Wyoming.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. Two Powell doctors are living their dream jobs thanks to a connection they made years ago in Kansas. The Powell Tribune reports Dr. Kelly Christensen is a local who went to Kansas for residence training. He met Dr. Mike Bowman there and convinced him to apply for a job in Powell. They've been working as old-fashioned family doctors together for 30 years. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department, staff from the Bridger Teton National Forest, Grand Teton National Park, and Trout Unlimited recently came to the rescue of a rare fish. Buckrell reports fluctuating temperatures caused one curve of the Snake River to remain open while the rest froze. The team caught nearly 900 trapped green suckers and moved them to an open part of the river. Cheyenne will hold the state's first Lego convention this summer. Oil City News reports the event in June will feature work from professional Lego artists from across the country, as well as interactive events. A portion of the proceeds will go to the nonprofit Creations for Charity, which gives new Lego sets to underprivileged kids around the world during the holidays. And according to View Homes, houses being sold in Wyoming sell in the third fastest amount of time. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And now for today's Wyoming trivia question. Wyoming was the last state in the Union to raise its legal drinking age to 21. In what year did it make that change? Send us your answers for this week's trivia questions to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com. We'll name winners on Monday. That's it for today. Thanks for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this first day of spring. Join me again tomorrow. Remember to subscribe to get Wyoming Debrief automatically downloaded to your phone and start your day on an informed foot. While you're there, please consider leaving us a review so that other people can find us.